So it is that we go into another hour of your calls for Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. You can link up to him through our webpage while you're there. To also click onto that story about how smart late-night listeners are, people who are night owls, statistically smarter than morning larks. You can find out whether you are a morning lark or a night owl, too. They have a quiz you can take along the way. But if you're so smart, then you've got to keep listening to Greg Hunter. I think we're hearing some great advice about what we can do to protect ourselves, to protect our families coming up in the years of economic turbulence. It's not like it's going to, you know, the wheels are going to come off without some warning, but heed the warnings that we do have right now. There are some squeaky wheels here, and your questions, your comments for how this is going to affect you coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog, you were just saying before the top of the hour, and I cut you off for dramatic purposes, the cliffhanger to that question.
Oh, well, give me the question again. I'm sorry.
Hang on. We'll get back to that coming up in just a second. Angie is in Houston on Coast to Coast. Go ahead. I think you're going to have to bring up Angie back in the studio after all. Thank you, Jason. Go ahead. Angie on Wildcard One. Go ahead.
I'd like to ask Mr. Hunter, when is Barney Frank going to be held accountable for his part in this debacle? He had friends at Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, and he tried to shame people into thinking that everybody in this country had the God-given right to own a home. I've never owned a home because I can't afford it, and I think he needs to be called out on it. And it makes me sick that he was reelected recently.
Well, who are the politicians who say you don't have a God-given right to own a home? That's what I want to know. Who's running locally, Republican or Democrat, who's saying you don't have a God-given right to own a home? Everybody says that. I'll call out Barney Frank, but that's going to be a very long list of politicians we're going to call out and say, right?
Well, he's chairman of this committee, and he had a hand in this, that he was, you know,
yes,
in, with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae.
Ma'am, listen, on my side, I say that I'm neither Democrat or Republican. I think we have one body and two heads, and I'll tell you why. George W. Bush started the bailout. Hank Paulson walked into Congress and said, hey, we need $700 billion. Because we need to buy mortgage-backed securities. George Bush got out of office, and a Democrat took over, and there was no change between the Democrat and Republican. We still have a tremendous affinity for the banks. We are allowing them to have phony accounting principles. That happened under the Bush administration. Actually, it didn't. It happened under the Obama administration. But we had this big bailout started under the Bush administration, the TARP. That started under the Bush administration. The Bush administration allowed banks to leverage up not 10, 12 times the capital, but 50, 60, 70 times capital. They called off the FBI. The Bush administration called off the FBI in 2004 when they were seeing rampant, quote, rampant, their words, mortgage fraud. And if you take that all the way through to the Democrats, which, you know, Barack Obama said, oh, well, I don't begrudge these bankers getting any bonuses. They had this sham of a pay czar. And what happened the year we had a pay czar? We had a record payoff, second only to the payoff that's this year and no pay czar. So Democrats and Republicans are both equally responsible for the sellout of America. That's nothing short of what it is. It's a sellout of America. We fought two wars with no draft and a credit card in Iraq and Afghanistan. If it's of such profound national security, and I love our troops and I love our military, if it's such a profound national security issue, then let's have a draft and let's pay for it. But we didn't do that either. So to call out Barney Frank alone, listen, they both have blood, Democrats, Republicans, both have blood on their hands. You could do is so and is not, and you did this and you did that. That's why the Tea Party did well.
Well, you know what, though, I can say, too, I think actually we do have a God-given right to own a home. We all do. I mean, if you can afford it, and that's the question is if you can afford it. And if you can't afford it, then you shouldn't have a government guaranteed right to own a home. That's the problem. It's not the God given right. It's the government-guaranteed right to own a home.
Well, and this lady is trying to push it all off on Barney Frank, which, listen, they did do nefarious stuff in Fannie and Freddie Mac, right? They did do that. However, most of the housing bubble was created under the Bush administration. Listen, these regulators, I mean, Tim Geithner was the head of the New York Fed. As Lehman Brothers was leveraging up to the hilt, they went bankrupt. As the Bear Stearns was leveraging up to the hilt, they went bankrupt. As AIG was leveraging up to the hilt, they went bankrupt. Hey, Tim Geithner was the head of the New York Fed.
Right. Well, let's get to Jane at Wildcard Line, right, on line two on Coast to Coast. Jane?
Are you calling for Judy?
Oh, sorry, Judy. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. This is a great program. Greg, a few items here. I have terminology, title, deed, and promissory note. I need to know what at the end of our mortgage, what we need to hold to show that our title is clear. I need to know how to find out who actually
has
these right
now. Do you still have a mortgage?
Pardon me?
Do you still have a mortgage?
Yes, we have about 10 years on it.
Okay, first thing you got to find out, where is your promissory note? People don't realize, you think you're paying for your house, and you are, okay, but you are the owner. You are the owner of the house until you miss a payment. You paid for the house with that promissory note. That is a financial instrument. It cannot be copied, just like a $50 bill. It cannot be, reproduced and counterfeited. It has to have your original signature on it. So the first question you need to ask if you have 10 years left to pay is, where is my promissory note?
Mm-hmm.
The second question is, where is my deed? Who has, first of all, I want to know that I'm paying the right people. And if you're the right people, whoever you are, XYZ Bank, give me a copy. Prove to me that you have my promissory note. You watch them dance, tap dance, and wiggle. Now, if you have a local bank,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's First State Bank that kept every mortgage, hey, that's great. You probably didn't have your mortgage securitized. If there's another tip for you, if your listeners that are wanting to be cute and buy a foreclosure, I think when you buy a foreclosure, you're buying at the new retail price. But if you want to buy a foreclosure, make sure it's not in the MERS system. Make sure you have the promissory note. Best way to do that is go to a local bank and say, do you have some foreclosures? Did you hold the note? Do you have the promissory note? Let me see it.
And buy it directly from a local bank
yes.
where the provenance for that never left the bank.
Correct. That
okay.
Yes.
What I really need, to ask the people I'm paying if they
Where's the promissory note?
And for them to send me a copy. What is the deed?
Well, the deed is the actually deed of trust where you actually end up paying for the house and you own the house. But right now, your servicer should provide you with a promissory note. Now, I know a guy that one of my readers just wrote me a letter, and he got a note from Wells Fargo Bank, and it said, you have successfully met all your commitments for the loan you took out, blah, blah, blah. Your deed is at, I think they said there is at Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. You know what that is?
We were Countryside, I suppose. Now we're what, Bank of America?
Oh, my God. You were with Countrywide?
Yes.
Well, I mean, Bank of America and the Federal Reserve is suing Countrywide for $47 billion because they didn't take good care. I don't know what the exact quote is. I read it earlier. But because they didn't take care of the loan documents. And remember, they created these securities and put them in an electronic registry, the MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Registry System. They put them in there, and they don't have the loan docs, and they don't have the promissory notes in most cases.
Well, so you've got your work cut out for you, Judy, for Monday morning. You might as well get to work on it now.
Promissory note.
Cross your fingers. You could get lucky. Lynn is in California on Coast to Coast for Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog.
Yes. I was wondering if Mr. Hunter has been able to document the origin point of the tsunami that started over a decade and a half ago and the three entities that started it and created the problem in the real estate.
I do not know the answer to that, but there is a chart on my website which shows what's going to happen in the next 18 months till about November of 2012. It's a Credit Suisse chart. And it's called, the piece is called The Fed's Biggest Fear, and it's just a wonderful, you look at it and you go, oh my gosh, the real estate bottom doesn't happen until at least November of 2012, then everything clears out. I don't think there's going to have a real estate bottom until 2012, 2014.
Lynn, it sounds like you're speaking in code. So what is it that you think of as being the three entities that started it all?
Approximately a decade and a half ago, the three major banks, Bank of America, Chase, and Wells Fargo, attempted to find out how to get a hold of tens of thousands of accounts that had hundreds of thousands of dollars in them. They realized that they were not one person in the account. They realized that multiple people were placing the money into the accounts. And they realized that those people did not have the capacity to interact on their own by making accounts. Thereby, they tried to figure out a system to actually identify the people that were in a single account. They got the United States government to permit illegal aliens to be able to bank inside of our banks.
Oh, that's liar loans. That's Bank of America. That's a part of the subprime problem. That's part of the whole deal, although it affected the entire economy.
Liar loans. What do you mean by that?
Well, liar loans were you lied about your income, you lied about your employment, you lied about your place of birth, you lied about your citizenship, you lied about everything. And they said, sure, okay, fine, just write it down, it's fine. No verification, liar loans. And
right. And
who I blame for that are the banks. And, of course, the banks, all they cared about was securitizing the debt because they were making big fees. They were getting big VIG. They were rocking. They were doing great. None of this stuff ever defaulted. I mean, what the heck? Let's just go ahead and sell it and pump it and dump it. And, hey, we'll get it rated AAA. It'll be equal to a treasury. It'll pay a couple of percent higher. We'll sell it to – we'll get all the cash out of these pension funds and out of these other entities, these investors. Oh boy, you know, treasury rates are going down, and we'll pay 6 or 7%. And you know what happened was people chased yield, and they didn't chase, and they had no regard for safety, and everybody just trusted everybody. I mean, after all, I mean, you know, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. Who would think they weren't even looking at files, according to William Black? Who would think they were rating debt at its highest level? We're not even looking at a file. And according to Black, they were instructed to do so by the CEO of the company. This is an unbelievable myriad, layer upon layer of fraud, from the liar loan to the creation of the security, to the rating of the security, to the foreclosure fraud process where they were doing court fraud and perjury. This is an unbelievable amount of fraudulent activity. It's racketeering.
All right. Let's get to Lisa in Westminster, California. On Coast to Coast for Greg Hunter. Lisa?
Yes, Greg. A while ago you said that one of the things that would be driving the housing market down is that the baby boom generation would be getting older and moving out of their homes, and the generation after that was smaller, so there wouldn't be as many buyers. However, the baby boomers' children are about as large a generation as they are, especially when you count immigration.
Ian said that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I've been making that point, but back up for a second. The difference is, though, the amount of housing stock they say exists right now is like what was the last figure you heard, Greg? Maybe like a 6-year?
It's at least a year. It's many months. It's way above any kind of historical average. And the sales and prices are bottom bouncing. So, I don't know what state you live in, ma'am, but real estate is going to have real pressure on it. And that's why they're trying to drop rates. If you look at that chart that I have been pointing to, that, the recast, the resets, you know, where they reset your mortgage payment has a wave, a tsunami wave that's happening right now, and then a little dip, then a giant wave in 11 and 12.
Okay, but you wanted to finish that point. Go ahead.
The more distant future, a few years out, as the bigger generation moves into the housing market, into its 30s, you see things improving then, or do you want to be entirely pessimistic?
Well, ma'am? I don't try to be optimistic or pessimistic. I want to know what it is.
Right, right.
And so if you take a look at how they're keeping, you know, why are interest rates at 4.25% or whatever they are for 30-year money? And the reason why is because this crazy idea that the Federal Reserve is spending $75 billion created fantasy dollars each and every month to drive and hold down interest rates, and on top of that, by the mistakes of bankers. What in the world is going to happen? And they also provide 95% of all mortgages. I mean, I'll tell you who was shocked about that. And that is the people who actually on the forefront of the mortgage industry that say, hey, would you want to be in a housing market that's almost totally supported by the government? And so what happens when we go back to conventional mortgage companies that have to charge a real rate, a 8, 7, 8, 9, 10% rate? What's going to happen to prices in 2013 or 14 or 15 after the tsunami hits of resets and that no longer is going to be a factor? Prices are going to have to come down. There's no question that prices will come down.
Right. Back to the baby boomer question. I mean, part of that is especially in the upper end of the baby boomers, that particular bubble, their kids already own homes. So it's not like that's not a new group of buyers coming into the home ownership market. So that the question is not whether or not there are already a lot of buyers out there that happen to be sons or daughters of baby boomers. The question is, where are the new buyers going to come from for all of the pre-existing homes? Like, I was just talking to an architect today, Greg, who is doing business in Brazil. That they can't find any buildings that anybody's trying to build here. There's already a glut of office space, of retail space, of, you know, every possible kind of commercial space already in the United States that they can't lease for a profit. So as an architectural firm, he's working now almost largely in South America, partnering with projects down there that are trying to attract American investors or American companies. So they're hiring an American architect to make sure that the building is American friendly. And he said, that's our future, is working in South America and in Asia. And I just thought, wow, that says a lot to me right there.
Well, commercial real estate markets have got some major problems that we haven't even touched on.
Right, which we can if you want to work that in. Let's go east of the Rockies. Daniel is in Salisbury, Massachusetts on Coast to Coast. Daniel?
Hi, how are you, Ian? And thank you, Greg, for being on the line. I'm calling in about my home. My home was sold last week in a foreclosure. I'm living here now. I really fought my mortgage foreclosure. It's an unfair and deceptive loan. It's happened since the beginning of my loan. I signed for 11 months upfront in hazard and flood insurance, and within a month of signing my mortgage, I was forced placed with quadruple the rates of forced placement on hazard and in flood insurance. And they said, you owe me this money, which is almost $5,000 on my back right away in a loan. I had 7 investigations.
Okay, we're going to run out of time here before we get to the question part.
Okay. Anyway, I ended up in federal court. I just wanted to let you know, in Boston. And even the judge said, you know, he didn't really see any problem with that. You know, my question is this. I've called everybody. I've called HUD. I've called, I'm with the Attorney General's office. I've called everybody. Nobody has any answers, Greg. And
we need to get Greg in here somewhere just before the bottom of the hour. Greg, any answers or any help for this guy?
I hate to say this, but what you're talking about is almost a government takeover by business, by Wall Street. You're not seeing criminal prosecutions. And that's why I keep bringing that up. You're not seeing criminal prosecutions. You're not seeing criminal prosecutions in this whole foreclosure gate, which is document fraud, court fraud, and perjury. Now, I don't know what happened in this guy's case,
but
we don't have regulators on the beat. We don't have cops on the beat.
Okay, hang on. We'll be back. It's Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right. So just to wrap up a previous point a caller made about the housing stock, I just went and checked some statistics on this, and I don't know. Like I said, I just go by what people tell me. I'm not smart enough to figure this all out by myself. But one place said, and this is, I believe, the kind of information that corroborates Greg Hunter's USAWatchdog.com, is that housing prices have to fall about 28% in order for them to start being realistic values. So just imagine that. There just really aren't as many buyers out there for these homes that would keep driving the prices up. The housing price keeps coming down. There's a lot of first-time buyers. That's great. And you're seeing, you know, some grandkids of baby boomers getting into the housing market. That, too, is great news. But the trick here, I think, in the years ahead is have to be thinking of where are all the buyers going to come from? When a stock no longer becomes popular, you got to find more people who are going to buy the stock where you can't sell it for what you think it's worth. So I think it's pretty good advice. If you're thinking about selling a home in 1 to 5 years, why not sell it now? You know, what on the upper end of that, get it sold faster, count your money earlier. Seems like not a bad strategy. Anyway, more calls for Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponet. All right, then back to the calls, let's see. I guess we have Ann. No, wait. We've got Dave in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, first-time caller line on Coast to Coast. Dave?
Yes, hello.
Hi, you're talking with Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog.
Yes, here's my question. If these banks do not have the proper documentation, i.e. promissory notes, then what right or how can they foreclose on these houses? And I'll take my coffee here.
Well, what they were doing with this, quote, robo-signing, they were basically getting notaries to sign documents that were fraudulently produced with signatures that weren't the actual signatures, with documents, promissory notes, that weren't the actual documents. That's how they're doing it. And Matt Taibbi at Rolling Stone magazine did a piece down where he looked at the what's called the Rocket Docket in Florida, where they have retired judges that are just rubber stamping these foreclosures and just pushing them through as fast as they can so they can get the foreclosure as fast as they can. They can get the fraud out of the purview of regulators that at some point hopefully will produce investigations that will produce grand jury indictments and indictments of criminals. Now, this is racketeering at very high levels, at very broad-based, from mortgage fraud, document fraud, court fraud, rating fraud. Not a single person has been indicted. I mean, Angelo Mozzillo paid a $67 million fine after ripping off hundreds of millions of dollars at Countrywide. That's not a punishment.
Let's go to Ann in Santa Clara, California, on Coast to Coast, west of the Rockies, for Greg Hunter. Ann?
Yes, I was just wondering what a person could do to protect themselves. My husband bought our condominium, and it's pulled and it's paid in full. Just on air, I was looking over the documents. I can't really make head or tails out of most of them. They say that you're paid in full, but I can't see anything that says you're the
where the deed
current
is,
deed holder.
Well,
to say.
I would go down to your county
just
tax.
That's one question that I want to ask.
Well, you may not get many, but go ahead.
Okay. The other question is, I was looking into buying gold, and I've caught up a few different firms, and a lot of them seem to want to get you to not actually, to get into a market, which I would say is a more of a rare coin market as opposed to just buying gold. But they would say, no, you need this.
All right,
you want rare coins.
Right, let's get some answers for both. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, go to your county tax office where you pay your taxes, the deed office, and go look up your deed and see if you can find out and take your paperwork where you paid it off and go to your tax office and see if you can look up your deed and see if you can get them to verify that you have clear title to the house, that you actually are the deed holder, okay, because you no longer have a mortgage, right?
Right.
A. B. And I'm writing a post about this because I get this question all the time. I do not sell gold. I'm not a gold handler, seller. I do have people advertise on my site. But here's what I know about gold. If you want to diversify yourself with precious metals, actually get the precious metals first. There are two types of precious metals. There are numismatic and there is bullion. Numismatic is a 1910 double strike D dime. No, you don't want that. You know, numismatic is a $20 gold piece that only 5,000 were made in 1928. No, you don't want that. Okay? It's an MS-61 or 2 or 3. You don't want that. You don't want any of that if you're a beginner. If you're a pro and you know what you're doing, you're going to do your homework, fine, buy numismatic. If you want to buy bullion, then simply buy bullion. Don't buy proofs. I don't think they're worth it. Some people do, but if you're a beginner, don't buy proofs. Buy U.S. minted gold and silver coins that are by a government. Buy coins of the realm. So the top coins in America are the U.S. Gold Eagle, U.S. Silver Eagle, U.S. Buffalo. And what they'll try to do is I want you to buy half ounce or quarter ounce or tenth ounce. And the problem with that is when you buy gold, you never buy it spot. You always pay a commission. So if you buy 10th ounce coins, you might buy 10 10th ounce coins and pay a commission on all of it instead of paying, $13.50 plus, $70 for the coin. You'll pay $13.50 spot price plus $300 for the 10 coins. And you'll have exactly an ounce of gold in 10 one-tenth ounce coins and exactly an ounce of gold in a one-ounce eagle. So if you're going to buy gold coins, buy one-ounce coins, U.S. increment, bullion coins, not proof, not numismatic, just the bullion. In silver, you can buy silver eagles. You can buy maple leafs from Canada, coins of the realm, coins by countries, or you can buy what's called junk silver. All coins up until 1964 were 90% silver. So they sell them in face value, but here's the secret to finding out how much something's worth. About $1.50 in change, 15 dimes, 6 quarters, $3.50 is about an ounce. So if you had 15 dimes, you'd pay what's the spot price, 25 plus, and you pay a smaller commission, and you'll have coins of a country. In other words, a 1964 or earlier quarter is worth 1/6 of 25.50 or whatever the spot price is. About $8.
Okay. Anne is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for a wild card. Line for Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi. I was calling. We just got out of foreclosure. We paid, got out of that. And I was considering doing a loan modification. And I was wondering, is this a good idea now?
Let me ask you a question here.
Yes.
You got out of, you were foreclosed on?
Well, they sent papers saying they were going to foreclose. And we just had to catch up with our notes. We had gotten behind on our mortgage notes.
Well, they wanted you to sign a new promissory note.
No, we just had to pay our back. We owed like 2 or 3 months of our house notes. And I had to catch all that up. And then I'm now paying my regular monthly mortgage. And I was calling, it's through Wells Fargo, and I was calling to see if I could get a loan modification because we're paying 8.75% interest.
Well, you don't want a modification. You want a new interest rate. And in order to do that, you have to reclose. You have to buy your house again.
Well, no, they told me that would be refinancing. And
we've
been late in our payments, they won't refinance. So they connected me to their loan modification.
How long have you had that loan?
About 12 years.
Well, here's what I want you to be careful of. I want you to be careful that when you have a modification, it is a permanent modification.
Right.
Because what the banks have been doing is that they've been doing, 3 months, 6 months. Well, at the end of those 3 or 6 months, you have to catch up all the payments that they modified your loan. So if they say, hey, your payment's $1,000, but we're going to knock it down to $700 a month for the next 6 months. Hey, in 6 months' time, you're going to owe it all the difference in the payment. You're going to owe an additional $2,100, and they may even pull something like where they charge you fees to allow you to do
that. Yeah. So make sure, but a loan modification isn't a bad idea as long as it's like a permanent modification.
Permanent modification.
And if I ask them for a copy of my promissory note and they don't have it, what do you do then? And
what state are you in?
Louisiana. And if they punish me, will they punish me for asking?
No, they will not punish you for asking. So, but you still have to, you know, make your payments. But I would ask if they have the promissory note. Once you start asking if they have the promissory note, what you're asking them is, are you the real owner? Are you the rightful owner of this house? Do you have the proof that you own this house? Now some states, you don't have to go to court to, it's called a non-recourse state. You don't have to go to court to foreclose on a house. They can just, you know, they're supposed to, you know, it's on the honor system, and they're supposed to have all the documents and foreclose. That's why in Florida, for example, they have the rocket docket. So if you could get a permanent modification, and they'll send you new paperwork, and there's no penalty for getting the modification, sure, get a modification.
Okay.
But I don't think they're going to give you one, ma'am. I think if they're not changing your interest rate, they're not going to give you a loan modification.
We go from Ann in California to Ann in Baton Rouge to Ann in Madison, Wisconsin, for Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog. Ann?
Yes. Hello, Greg. I was very happy that you brought up the name of William S. Black. 2 years ago on Bill Moyers, he said that the way to deal with the problem with the banks was prompt corrective action, which is on the books as a law, but which was never applied, and it might have made a big difference. I was also happy when you corrected the person who thought that the whole problem was Barney Frank and I suppose Chris Dodd, when you brought up the issue of the Wall Street banks.
It's all of them, ma'am. It's both Democrat and Republican.
Yes, of course it is, because what we have is a system in which we have the corporation folding so much into the government that if you want to say the government is bad, I think the first thing you have to say is how badly it has been suborned by the financier and corporate eminence grease. And probably the thing that would save us is if we could get some daylight between the overlords on Wall Street and the Fortune 400 and the federal government, so that the government might possibly start to represent the interests of the people.
Well, that'd be nice. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So
I think in the meantime, they're wrecking the currency, ma'am. They're gonna keep printing money. They're gonna keep bailing out the banks. They're gonna keep, you know, raising stock prices. And oh, by the way, insiders in the stock market are selling in record numbers and have been doing so for a couple of dozen weeks. Insiders are selling this big rally.
Am I out of caller's name, Ann? I think I am now. I think I went from Ann to Ann, but now we go to Tom in Toronto on the international line for Greg Hunter. Tom?
Oh, thank you, Ann. Greg, my question is, one thing that I don't understand is, in the United States, there's a lot of scientists, like doctors and professors know how economics, and these people don't protest while they see the people in the House and the senators bickering for nothing, and they sign up papers, doesn't make sense, and don't even understand. And one thing I don't understand, this makes me feel like this system is designed to do that. Other than that, what's your idea about comments?
I first and foremost, I cannot see for the life of me how a U.S. congressman or a U.S. senator tells the Federal Reserve, oh, you're handing out $500 billion to foreign banks? Oh, we don't want to know. Oh, you're taking toxic assets off the books of Citigroup to the tune of $230 billion. Oh, we don't know what the assets are. We don't want to know. To me, that is criminal, and it is an act of treason. You don't want to know what
the people who are taking care of every dollar you spend and save, what they're doing, who they're bailing out, how they're bailing out. This wasn't even an active cut. They're printing up $1.25 trillion, $1.7 trillion in the last 20 months and bail people out. We don't even know who got it for what. We're going to print up another nearly $1 trillion in buying treasuries and securities. We don't even know what we're buying. That's not even Congress doing it. This is why Ron Paul wants to audit the Fed. I think if you audit the Federal Reserve, it dies. I think you find out such nefarious things, it dies.
It's like,
and they've got a stranglehold on our Congress.
It's like pulling the drywall off an old house. You almost don't want to know what's back there before you got to. And I think you're right. I think that if they put a microscope on it, the whole thing could just fall apart. It is a house of cards. Sandra is in Cleveland on Coast to Coast. Wild card line for Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog. Sandra?
Thank you. Great show. Two quick questions. What would be the culpability of title companies in all this? Because isn't their job to follow the paperwork and prove clear title before everything transfers? And I'm looking at renting a house down the road, maybe 6 months or so. How can I be sure? Is there any way I can be sure that the owner is in good standing or there isn't some kind of weirdness with the paperwork where I could be put out, you know, without having any warning because of the owner's mismanagement of this whole thing?
A, there's no way for you to know the owner's mismanagement. A foreclosure would not be quick and easy. They wouldn't just show up one day and say, get out tomorrow. It would be a process. You have no way of knowing if the owner of that property is paying the mortgage. But you know what? The downside risk for you is pretty short. It's just finding another place. And what was your other question?
The other question was about, let me just bring her back up again. What's that? Oh, culpability.
Oh, well, listen, the rating, the title companies are already asking the banks to sign off on, hey, listen, if this is fraudulent, we're not covering it. So the title companies, anytime you have a transaction done in fraud, you don't have to pay for fraud. This is why there is a giant amount of putbacks. This is why a current congressman, Brad Miller, who's on, he's a Democrat from North Carolina, who's on some of the big finance committees. Well, now he's, you know, they lost power, but he was on some of the big finance committees. He thinks that there's no way the banks can do all these putbacks, which are really buybacks to me and you. There's no way that the banks can do them all, and we could have a huge problem, which I think what's happening now is another bank bailout because Congress is going to give one. But the long and short of it is the title companies, they're not going to sign on for fraud. You can bet the contracts are being rewritten or have been rewritten that say, listen, if you're engaged in fraud, if you produce something in a fraudulent way, we're not going to back the title up. But there's no way they're going to do that. This is a giant mess in the real estate market.
We'll get to David real quickly. If David can keep his question short. David, it's got to be very short in order for us to give time to get an answer.
I just turned the radio on. You were saying about that finding your promissory note. We was with National City Mortgage, and then they went and sold it to Countrywide. Then we found out Countrywide was sold to America, Bank of America. And I wanted to know if why we need to find that, if we can find our promissory notes or our deeds and stuff. We should be selling our house right now to you know, because we owe about $80,000 on our mortgage.
Here's why you need to find it. You want to make sure that you're paying the right people, because the promissory note shows that you owe the money, yes, but it also shows that they own the property, that they have the right to the income stream, and they have the property as collateral. So the promissory note basically proves that the bank owns it. And that's what all this robo-signing document, it's nothing more than foreclosure fraud. It's perjury and it's court fraud. That's why they're having these signing mills. So the important thing is to make sure you're paying the right people.
And that's just where we'll have to leave it, or to recommend that you go back and catch the earlier part of the show on Coast Insider if you missed it. Valuable information waiting for you, too, at usawatchdog.com. Greg Hunter, who is our country's watchdog on this subject, and thank you so much for doing your due diligence on how other people haven't been doing theirs.
Thank you, Ian, for having me on.
Look forward to staying in conversation with you in the future. We'll see you back here on Friday for Open Lines, giving George a night off. Deus te amat, and I do, too.